welcome to the Center for Financial Inclusion's podcast series. This is the second in a series of episodes interviewing members of the Campaign for Client Protection Steering Committee. In this episode, Campaign Director Robin Ratcliffe speaks with Matthias Katamba, CEO of Uganda Finance Trust, and Shireen Farag, Executive Director of the Sanabel Network, about their commitments to client protection.
This is Robin Ratcliffe. I'm the Campaign Director at the Center for Financial Inclusion at Acción. I'm lucky enough to be here today with two members of the newly named Steering Committee for the Campaign for Client Protection and Microfinance. Matthias Katamba, he's the CEO of Uganda Finance Trust, and Shireen Farag, who is the relatively new Executive Director of the Sanabel Network. That is the network of microfinance institutions in Middle East and North Africa. Gentlemen, we're really happy to have you here on the second day of the meeting of the Steering Committee. I'd love to have a little reflection from you on, well, what really brought you to accept the invitation to join the Steering Committee, your thoughts about client protection principles and issues that you may have seen in your own country or in the region that inspired your own decision. And let's start with Matthias.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'm glad to be here and thank you for the invitation. When you look at the principles that we have been talking about over the last 1 day and a half, these are real issues that we need to address in the industry, given the nature of the customers that we serve. But also, they are all issues that are pertinent to the survival of our industry, particularly because if we implement this, we will greatly increase the level of customer service and the quality of service and the value proposition that we give to our clients. And also, it will protect what we do from the negative effects that could come in the future if, say, for example, clients are not looked after in the right way.
And you mentioned something about our clients. Just to be clear, the particular aspects of our clients that you mean bring special obligations perhaps to microfinance institutions or others providing financial services to low-income people. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about the special qualities of those of the clients or typical qualities that you want to address.
Typically, a microfinance customer is what you can call a poor person, usually. Illiterate, in many ways vulnerable, and usually the institution has an upper hand compared to the person, and the amount of knowledge available to the person in their everyday life is usually small. In an environment like that, for us who interface with them, it is critically important that we take this vulnerability into account, and in many ways have to come up front in terms of showing them what is best for them, explaining pricing, explaining what it means to actually borrow and to repay, and the implications of this on their small business. This is something that you would ordinarily not have to do for a much larger customer who has advisors from accountants and that sort of thing and all sorts of things. So it is critical that we play this dual role of not only providing financing or savings, but at the same time the right information to enable these customers make the decisions about borrowing.
Thank you. Shireen, you're new to this role in microfinance, but I know that you have a long background in the financial markets. Tell us a little bit about the nature of client service that you've been able to observe so far in the institutions in Middle East, North Africa, and what you see as a particular role that you can play representing that area within the steering committee and on the campaign.
Thus far, my observations have been quite positive. Rich and poor alike, microfinance or not so much microfinance, people have been treated with a certain degree of dignity as far as I have been able to observe. Notwithstanding, the sector is very young and very small. In the 12 countries that we canvass in Sanabel, there is a crying need for the sector to grow. And you can throw a number of statistics around, 10% of total demand being filled by our membership base, 20%, even if it's 30% across the board, there is a need for growth in the sector. And future growth will require that that clients be treated with the same level of dignity, and some mechanism has to be put in order for that to happen and not to fall through the cracks.
Following up on that, do you see some measure of or some potential for networks like Sanabel to play a certification role or advisory and implementation role in terms of overseeing their membership in how they are delivering financial services?
Sanabel is undergoing a transition of sorts, and yes, that is indeed in the cards for the future. I would not say no to that at all, on the contrary, yes.
Going back to some of the client protection principles, one of the conversations that went on quite a lot within the steering committee was discussing over-indebtedness by clients, you know, very aggressive lending by microfinance or consumer lending organizations as well, but how the balance of assessing how much clients can actually repay, what is the, I would say, moral obligation of our industry, if you say the microfinance industry, to protect their clients actually against overlending? And how does that balance with, we hear about very competitive environments like Uganda, where there are a number of good institutions, but they're competing and they may get a little too overzealous in their competition, and they may want to automatically approve a loan for somebody that's already borrowing from one of their competitors. How do you see the campaign and your own work kind of helping with that difficult subject?
Thank you. The challenge of over-indebtedness and multiple lending, or call it multiple borrowing, specifically in the Ugandan example, has been fueled by a number of things. One of them is the lack of personal information about the customers. For example, there is no national identification system in Uganda. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, it has been the concentration of institutions in specific areas that you find 3-4 players more or less operating in the same town. How this is being curbed in the Ugandan example is through an industry-wide effort to put together a credit reference bureau that has been supported by the regulators. Now, this is going to sort out the problem among the regulated institutions, because it's only regulated institutions that submit the data. However, for the lower level tier 4 institutions that are not regulated, the problem still exists. And how one can look at going about this is really a question of sensitization and providing information to the lenders to improve their assessment at the time of giving the loan, to find out more about the other obligations that the customer has, as opposed to necessarily looking at the sources of income. But this is beginning to take hold, as the problem has been seen to affect recovery from many institutions. So I'm hopeful, and with the activities and initiatives of the campaign, this is something that we're going to see as a thing of the past going forward.
Thank you. Shireen, you come from a strong business background, and something that we didn't talk a lot about during the steering committee, but we have considered as part of the campaign staff and team, is building the business case with microfinance institutions for good client protection practices, that in the long run, it makes not just moral sense or, you know, high-minded sense, but it makes business sense. Have you seen anything like that within your, from the time of your various business engagements, where an industry itself did a good job of, I don't know, self-monitoring or looking after it the way it treats its clients in a positive way?
Most certainly. And I'll refrain from mentioning names, but some examples come to mind immediately. There are microfinance institutions that reward their clients for maintaining a level of performance in debt repayment or in timeliness or what have you. And they award them with significant awards. They send them off to the pilgrimage at the time of pilgrimage. They help them with furnishing their homes. There are all sorts of business models that have evolved around there. And they're all quite impressive and very touching.
So those are financial awards. Do you see that the business case for actually investing by microfinance institutions in ways to keep client loyalty is another, I mean, is that a practical approach?
It has been adopted by several in the region, and yes, it's a very valid approach. A happy customer is a customer who always comes back. So repeat lending with microfinance, as with major financial institutions, is exactly the same principle.
Right. In other words, your most expensive client is your first time client.
Exactly.
And they become, each time they come back to you, in effect, they become less expensive.
Indeed.
And they, of course, I would imagine, are your best ambassador. They're out there telling their colleagues and friends how happy they are with the service and treatment of your institution.
And generally tend to exhibit a lower risk profile.
Great. Well, I want to thank both of you, Matthias Katamba from Uganda and Shirin Farag from Cairo, Egypt, but representing Sanabel, the network of Middle East and North Africa institutions, because we got all of Africa by having both of you here today. And so often we think of North Africa as, well, it is really separate in many ways from sub-Saharan Africa, but I think having both those perspectives today was really, really interesting for our listeners, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you
very much for having us. It's been a pleasure being here.
To learn more about the Campaign for Client Protection, visit the website at www.campaignforclientprotection.org. And to learn more about the Center for Financial Inclusion, visit our website at www.centerforfinancialinclusion.org.